Hi. Okay, so this is a reading for the solstice, 2016. And before I begin that, I would just like to read this incredible poem. And this poem is going to be as an attachment also going out to everyone because it's such an important poem for our times. I've been reading it to my patients, and it's just been really helping everyone so much. So it's by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. I'll tell you when she wrote this after we're done reading it. My friends, do not lose heart. We were made for these times. I have heard from so many recently who are deeply and properly bewildered. They are concerned about the state of affairs in our world. Now, ours is a time of almost daily astonishment and often righteous rage over the latest degradations of what matters most to civilized visionary people. You are right in your assessments. The luster and hubris some have aspired to while endorsing acts so heinous against children, elders, everyday people, the poor, the unguarded, the helpless is breathtaking. Yet, I urge you, ask you, gently ask you to please not spend your spirit dry by bewailing these difficult times. Especially do not lose hope, most particularly because the fact is that we were made for these times. Yes, for years we have been learning, practicing, been in training for, and just waiting to meet on this exact plane of engagement. I grew up on the Great Lakes and recognize a seaworthy vessel when I see one. Regarding awakened souls, there have never been more able vessels in the waters than there are right now across the world, and they are fully provisioned and able to signal one another as never before in the history of humankind. Look out over the prow. There are millions of boats of righteous souls on the waters with you. Even though your veneers may shiver from every wave in this stormy royal, I assure you that the long timbers composing your prow and rudder come from a greater forest. That long-grained lumber is known to withstand storms, to hold together, to hold its own, and to advance regardless. In any dark time, there is a tendency to veer toward fainting over how much is wrong or unmended in the world. Do not focus on that. There is a tendency, too, to fall into being weakened by dwelling on what is outside your reach, by what yet cannot be. Do not focus there. That is spending the wind without raising the sails. We are needed. That is all we can know. And though we meet resistance, we more so will meet great souls who will hail us, love us, and guide us. And we will know them when they appear. Didn't you say you were a believer? Didn't you say you pledged to listen to a voice greater? Didn't you ask for grace? Don't you remember that to be in grace means to submit to the voice greater? Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding, adding to, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. One of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. The light of the soul throws sparks, can send up flares, build signal fires, causes proper matters to catch fire. To display the lantern of soul in shadowy times like these is to be fierce, and to show mercy towards others. Both are acts of immense bravery and greatest necessity. Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. If you would help to calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things you can do. There will always be times when you feel discouraged. I, too, have felt despair many times in my life, but I do not keep a chair for it. I will not entertain it. It is not allowed to eat from my plate. The reason is this. In my uttermost bones, I know something, as do you. It is that there can be no despair when you remember why you came to Earth, who you serve, and who sent you here. The good words we say and the good deeds we do are not ours. They are the words and deeds of the one who brought us here. In that spirit, I hope you will write this on your wall. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe. There can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for. So I find that poem so immensely helpful. And when you receive this audio, it will be there as a link so you can have it and share it with people you know. Great. So I will start with just talking about solstice. A little bit about solstice. First of all, solstice means sun stands still. And at the solstice, the summer solstice and the winter solstice, the sun rises and sets in the same place. It doesn't move off that point on the horizon line. And it tracks on the same place in the sky. And that place is aligned with galactic center. So galactic center, the Mayans called Hunab-Ku, and the Greeks called it the Golden Gate. It is located at the intersection of the Milky Way and the path of the planets and creates a cross. It's called the galactic cross. And we call it, in our culture, the black hole. And out of the black hole is immense energy. And the Greeks felt that this was where the gods and the goddesses emanated from. This is where unconditional love is beaming into our galaxy from. So when the sun is there, the sun is a transmitter of frequency and light to us. So it's no wonder, it's an amazing time to just pay attention to sunrise, sunset, midday, just be aware of the sun. If you are not able to see the sun or aware of it, you can also just do this beautiful meditation of visualizing the sun above your head and breathing it on the inhale into your heart. And on the exhale, breathing it out, your hands and feet, so that your whole body is lit up like the sun and radiating and feeling this beautiful unconditional love, and send that love back into the earth. And then do this for a few minutes every day. You will notice something amazing. And but when you're done, just say thank you and close it up. Just be aware that you're shifting back into ordinary consciousness. So the sun has been at galactic center, only can be at galactic center at winter solstice every 26,000 years, which is a big deal, and it signals the beginning and the ending of a huge, it's called the Great Turning, and it is signified that the winter solstice is the time of the year when we have the longest night and the shortest day. But it also signals the time of the year that the light is returning. So it is a time of endings and beginnings. And for this reason, it's a really good time to light a bonfire and burn up pieces of paper, everything you don't want to bring into the next cycle of your life, and to have another piece of paper and write what you want to activate in this new cycle. But if you think of a 26,000-year cycle, we are ending in the beginning something really major. And this started in 1962, and it goes to 2032, that the sun is at galactic center. It could be expanded out 144 years from that point. So if you really want to expand it out, it could have started in 1929 and end in like 2068. But this is a time where we are, as Charles Eisenstein says, between stories, between the old story that is based on separation and the new story that is based on connection and unity and understanding that all of our actions have effects on each other and that we need to take care of the earth as she takes care of us. And we are creating that new earth. That energy of the new earth is rising. But at the same time, we are living in a time where the old structures that have been created out of separation and out of dominance over others, and then the belief that we can extract things out of the earth indefinitely for profit, we are still living in a time where that is highly active at the same time that we are creating the new story. And I believe that we really did come here very intentionally during this time to be the transition team, and that we know how to do this. Even though it is excruciating at times, it is also at times incredibly joyful when we come together and create miracles and create joy and create community and create those new structures that are building the new earth. So what I want to say is that I created an audio that I didn't send out, but it's on my website, laurenjubilier.com, about the full moon in October. And I think that that created an increasing intensity of absolute craziness. And that was about the time that Comey came out with these new emails that have been found, and when we started to see actually our elections start to shift in a new direction. And first I want to just say that we live, as Joanna Macy says, at a time where three things are happening. We're living in three realities happening simultaneously. One is the reality of business as usual, people going about their day believing that nothing's really changing. And I would have to say that since our election, or even before that, that group of people is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It's getting more and more difficult to deny that things are unraveling in a really big way, and things are spinning out of control. And that is the second reality that Joanna Macy talks about, is the unraveling. That is happening, the unraveling of all of the institutions that are no longer working. They're becoming more and more visible and more painful for more and more people. And at the same time, then there's a third reality happening, which I'll call the new earth, the seeding and birthing of the new earth reality, and Joanna Macy calls, creating regenerative culture, the regeneration. So we're having sort of a breakdown and a regeneration at the same time. And regeneration means all of the things that people are engaged in, like permaculture and nonviolent communication and getting together and praying and singing and creating community and remembering that the earth is alive and the earth is sacred and creating new structures that reflect that. That is part of the regenerative. There's something that I'm very excited about called Village Building, that is a social movement that is taking the globe by storm, and hopefully that we will be able to bring them to Chapel Hill in autumn to really create local community that remembers the earth as the center, remembers that playfulness and joy and love and fun is part of community. And, you know, what they say is that the Romans, when they, about 2,000 years ago, started thinking about dominating people, they very consciously took the village and changed the structure of it, changed the architecture of it. Instead of being in a circle, we created straight lines and 90-degree angles, which actually create an architecture of separation. So the village building does many things. Number one, it encourages people to create acts of outrageous kindness, like planting flowers in your neighbor's garden when they're asleep, or planting fruit trees in a downtown area, planting herb gardens. And this is a very advanced state in Portland, Oregon, where they planted 17,000 fruit trees, some legally, some illegally. And they have created mandalas at four-way traffic intersections to slow down traffic. They've created tea houses on corners. They just have like a ton of ideas. And so that's just an example of regeneration that's happening. So in terms of this 26,000-year cycle, you know, the Mayan calendar ended in 2011, and it ended on the day that Uranus entered Aries, and that was the day that Fukushima melted down. So it was this huge energy shift. And what was happening on that day was the end of the Mayan calendar means it was the end of, the Mayan calendar was tracking waves of consciousness, not time. And what was happening was is at the end of separation consciousness, and this wave of unity consciousness came in 2011. And what that's done is that people who are in power, who've been in power for a long time, on some unconscious level have felt that energetically they're no longer being fed. They're no longer being fed by the energetics of this earth. And what's really being fed is the future, is this new earth, this time of living in peace. But because there has been this sense of losing a certain connection to a certain energy that was sort of in support, it supporting this, there's been a power grab based on fear, and we are seeing that now. And so even though in the long term things will be better, we don't know how much damage is going to be done to the earth in the short term while power is still in the hands of people that do not honor the earth as sacred and honor all life as sacred and act that way and create institutions. In fact, it's the opposite and getting more and more extreme by the moment, in fact. So, you know, it's very, very difficult. And I kind of want to title this talk, Walking in Beauty in Dangerous Times, because the times are dangerous. And we don't know what's going to happen. It's very unpredictable. Today is December 18th, and tomorrow the Electoral College will decide who our next president is. And in fact, tomorrow, Mercury goes retrograde. So that's very interesting. Mercury goes retrograde December 19th, and it stays that way to January 6th. And when Mercury goes retrograde, Mercury is in fact closest to the Earth during that time. And what happens is it short circuits our ability to communicate clearly because it almost, the energy that we're used to communicating with radically shifts, and it tends to short circuit things, and it's easy to miscommunicate, and it's easy to feel confused, and it's easy for technology to short circuit. It's a very good time to become inward and focus on creativity and focus on you know, really looking at how you communicate with yourself and with others and to kind of plan. It's like a planning phase. So the fact that we are entering a several-week period of time where communication is not clear, as clear as it usually is interesting. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can hope and pray, some of us, all, you know, depending on what you want to happen, but most people listening to this are hoping and praying that we do not elect President Trump, but it's, you know, we don't know. It's most likely that we just don't know. He's been elected, but will the Electoral College really move forward? We do know that we're in a time of incredible, unprecedented uncertainty. which is brought about by another cycle that's being very activated right now. It is the Pluto-Uranus square, which was active from 2012 to 2015 in a really major way, and it got reactivated in October when the moon was conjunct Uranus and really lit this up. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. The Pluto-Uranus square, Pluto and Uranus have a dynamic engagement of maybe twice, occasionally three times in a 100-year period of time. And right now, they are in the signs of the householder energies, which hold everything together for humanity. Well, the last time that Pluto was in Capricorn was around the time Pluto will move into a sign every 200 years, every 270 years or so. It will come back to the sign that it was in. And so we had very similar energetics at the time of the American Revolution and the French Revolution and the time that our Constitution was actually written. And if you remember back in your history books, the first U.S. government called the Articles of Confederation failed and had to be redone. So it was a very chaotic time as we were forming. And the French Revolution was a really chaotic and difficult time as well. The other time, this particular configuration was very similar in 1920s and early 1930s, when we had fascism taking over a great deal of the world and institutions failing. And also in the 1960s, these Pluto and Uranus were conjunct at that time. So what we know about these times is historically is a time of incredible, radical, revolutionary change. Change, change, change. And when things change, some people really like it, some people love it that we have gay marriage, and some people are terrified of that. So change can bring up fear, and when people are afraid, they can reach towards something that feels like it's going to bring order or impose authority. In the 1960s, I want to remind you of what that was like a little bit, because we're kind of moving that forward another level now. So in the 1960s, we had the Civil Rights Movement and the Women's Movement, and the birth control pill was discovered, and you know, the anti-war movement and the student movement, and we had Woodstock, and all of these spiritual teachers from the East came west and started really sharing with people about yoga and meditation and how to expand love. But we were also in a time where, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and the Kennedy brothers were assassinated, and Malcolm X was assassinated. I mean, it was an incredibly beautiful time, a time of incredible social change that was progressive, and it was also a very reactionary time when we were at war and people were dying, and it was very scary. And so here we are, moving to a higher octave of all of this in terms of institutionalizing some of the changes that were made at that time and dreaming that dream to another level in terms of knowing that we are all connected to the divine and one another. But it's also a time of immense fear. And because so many of our institutions are failing and unraveling, we have created this situation where we've moved in the direction of an authoritarian government. And one thing I can say about our president-elect is that he is a shadow magnet. He is an expression of many of the facets of what's come to pass in our culture in the past 500 years of intense self-interest, intense greed, intense lack of empathy, lack of compassion, you know, misogyny, racism, xenophobia, all of that, that's been around a long time. He crystallizes that. And in some ways, that can actually bring about positive change very quickly, because many Americans look at that and say, that's not me. Most Americans look at that and say, that's not me. And as much as we're seeing waves of violence happen right now, we are also seeing people say, I want to be kinder. I want to be more compassionate. I want to sign up for, you know, to get involved with an organization that's really working on climate justice and climate change. And I want to protect people that might need protecting. Well, we don't know what's going to be asked of us. We don't even know what's going to happen yet. And we don't know what we'll be called to do. But there is, as much as there is this wave of fear, there is this wave of kindness. And I know that in my own practice, people have said to me, how could Spirit have let this happen? And my answer is, Spirit doesn't vote. We do. Spirit doesn't organize. We do. And Spirit can only do 50%, and we have to do the rest. And I believe that this is a giant kick in the pants to kick off a social movement of change and to increase that group of people that realize that we are both at a time of great unraveling and at a time of immense possibility to create regeneration. And I would just say that many of us, you know, have been curled up in a fetal position and in intense grief after the election, and many people around the world, and that it's important to be honest and feel the grief, but it's also important to come out of it so that we can connect to what is ours to do. And the suggestion that I would make in terms of the astrological cycles is that it's very important to put energy towards what you want to see happen, to create positive expressions. And that any time that, you know, there are mobs expressing rage, it's going to go into a negative downward spiral very quickly. And because we're at a time, because we're at the turning of the ages, we're at a time when our intentions are magnified in a massive way. And so we want to place our intentions towards what we want to see and get involved with groups of people who are putting forth a positive vision of change and not just fighting what they don't want to see. Now, it is also true that if the worst case scenario plays out and Trump is elected president and he creates a neo-fascist policy and actually goes after people, then, you know, what we might find ourselves doing is protecting our neighbors, protecting people that we care about, protecting people in our community. And that doesn't have to be done with anger. It can be done with tremendous love. But the energy that we are in is so important because of the times that we're living in. And I really feel that Donald Trump understands how to work with energy. I think he's a magician. And I think he understands that vision creates reality. And in a very big way, and that despite all odds to the contrary, he kept saying, I'm going to win with women, I'm going to win. And he did enough to win the president, to win the Electoral College vote points. And we need to understand that we need to align with that energy of vision creates reality and to really feed the vision we want to see in a major way together. And any acts of kindness and love and community and compassion that we can bring into our lives are going to tip this balance in a positive direction. We don't know how long we're going to be in the situation we're in, and we don't know how much destruction is going to come. And we don't know what we personally will be called to do. But staying connected to our own soul and our inner guidance is extremely necessary to know where we go. And so what's happening, and I have, if you're not here, I have on the floor this triangle between Uranus, Pluto, and Jupiter. And what's happening right now is that there's this triangle, and Jupiter is a planet that activates and expands what it touches. And what it's activating and expanding is this Pluto-Uranus square right now, which is about the disillusion of what has been, stripping it bare, laying bare the shadow of our story. I mean, it used to be that you had these lobbyists, you know, going after politicians in the in a secret way and getting them to vote the way they wanted them to vote. Now we have titans of industry being brought up to run the government, which is like let's just take it out of the unknown, out of the shadows, and plunk it right under everyone's nose. And this creates revolution. This will create reaction, and the rise, Pluto and Uranus when they're together, gives rise to an empowerment of social movements and social change. And unfortunately, it didn't have to be this way. I don't personally believe that this was destiny. I think that Donald Trump worked the energy of fear, and he knew what he was doing, and he kind of got in between the cracks, and now we have to deal with this. And we were going to be dealing with the shadow coming to light in our culture more and more and more anyway, regardless of who won the presidency, but now it's more dangerous. Now we have a more dangerous situation at hand. And we'll see what happens. So what I want to say is that Jupiter is going to be exactly opposite Uranus right around Christmas. So this, and then throughout the month of January and February and March and April and May, this whole constellation of the shadow being revealed, chaos, but also, you know, when Jupiter is opposite Uranus, it is also an empowerment of unpredictable revolutionary energy that, and spirit descending into the world, and new ideas, sparks of inspiration, being struck by lightning in a good way, and also innovation in technology, which can be helpful. So we don't know what is happening in someone's basement or a company right now that can actually, in a second, change the game. In terms of, I mean, I always hold the vision, and I hope you do too, of someone putting out on the internet a way to get energy from the sun that is safe and free, that you could like download it and do it. If that, just imagine if that happened, how the game would change in an instant. It wouldn't matter what those in power were trying to do. And that is also a signature of this time, is that it's not for those in power to create the transformation. It's for us in our communities to create it from the ground up, so that they will have to react to the ground up, or just, you know, get voted out or impeached or whatever happens. So after being in that confusing, you know, it is confusing what's happening, but this activation of this incredibly transformative energy that is unpredictable and unknowable, and also bringing the shadow up, is where we are. And it is good when we see the shadow. About a week ago, I was in a family constellation, my own, and parts of my shadow were blown up like hugely. Things that were so in my shadow that I was actually completely unaware that it was there. And it got blown up massively. And while, you know, difficult to see, it was incredibly transformational for me. I felt my whole body shifted energetically. And I don't think I can do some of those patterns. Those patterns are done now. And so that is what's happening in the world. It's like this giant psychodrama of the shadow playing out, and hopefully what that will mean is we will move forward and not be able to create this again, because the stakes are too high. And we'll see. What else do I want to tell you about? Just around Christmas time, Mars enters Neptune. Mars and Neptune are conjunct, and it is a time that if you are quiet, you can really connect with incredible spiritual guidance. And I would also say that it heats up. Things really heat up in January, February, March. And so if you can be finding ways to nourish yourself and be quiet and kind of have some downtime between now and mid-January, I would really encourage you to take it. And I would also really encourage you during this time of solstice, where the sun stands still on the cross, beaming in unconditional love, that you really utilize that daily for the next week. to anchor in these feelings in yourself, because when we are anchored to these higher frequencies, we get a lot better advice from our intuition than when we're in a state of fear. And that's really where we need to go as individuals and collectively, to help raise each other up and raise each other's frequency so that we can meet these times in the most loving, compassionate, kind way. And what we want to see is waves of compassion and kindness growing around the globe in response to waves of fear and anger and violence. And we can't really afford to stay curled up in fetal positions, and we also can't afford to get kind of sucked into the rage of what's happening because of the creativity of these times. So I encourage you to get together with your friends and help each other feel delicious and to get through this and to listen to one another. And so I will also just say that on December 21st, solstice is actually a 3-day process, December 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So December 21st, midnight England time, that's 7 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Mountain time, and 4 p.m. West Coast time, I would encourage you, there'll be a group of people meditating and activating the standing stones at Stonehenge, and activating the ley lines that they are connected to, which are global. It's like an interconnected network of energy in the earth that has historically been worked with on solstices and equinoxes. And we want to energize it with this unconditional love that is beaming in from the heart of the galaxy. And so at this time, 4 p.m. West Coast, 5 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. East Coast and midnight England, if you can spend 15 minutes bringing in, toning, singing, you know, bringing in that golden light on the top of your head and expanding it through your whole body and sending that love to the earth so that this can nourish the earth and all of humanity that lives on the earth, would be very helpful. And we all have to find very creative ways to work with our current collective reality. So I'm going to end it there. Does anyone have any questions?
Is there anything particular happening on 30th of December? I heard a few people say something could happen on Sunday.
That might be the day that... I'm going to shut this.